The poet Dylan Thomas wrote that one should not go gently into that good night, that old age should burn and rage at close of day. As a younger man reading that poem, I saw futility in those words. I saw aging only as a failing of the body, of the mind, and even of the spirit. I saw my grandfather suffer aches and pains, once agile and proudly self-sufficient. By his 60s, he struggled to swing a hammer and was unable to read the label on a box of Triscuit crackers without his glasses. I listened as my grandmother forgot words, and I cried when eventually she forgot what year it was. At work, I watched as people neared retirement age, the spark gone from their eyes, the hope from their smiles, counting the days until they could walk away from it all, yet with only the vaguest plans about what they would do once they had so much free time, all day, every day. But as I've grown older myself and have spent more time with people who are in the last quarter of their lives, I've seen a different side of aging. My parents are now in their mid-80s and are as engaged with life as they have ever been, immersed in social interactions, spiritual pursuits, hiking and nature, and even starting new professional projects. They look old, but they feel like the same people they were 50 years ago, and this amazes them. Where certain faculties have slowed, they find that extraordinary compensatory mechanisms have kicked in. Positive changes in mood and outlook, punctuated by the exceptional benefits of experience. Yes, older minds might process information more slowly than younger ones, but they can intuitively synthesize a lifetime of information and make smarter decisions based on decades of learning from their mistakes. Among the many advantages of being old, they are less fearful of calamities because they've been dealt a few in the past and managed to work through them. Resilience, both their own and each other's, is something they know they can count on. At the same time, they are comfortable with the idea that they may die soon. That's not the same as saying they want to die, but they no longer fear it. They've lived full lives and treat each new day as an opportunity for new experiences. Brain researchers speculate that old age brings chemical changes in the brain that make it easier to accept death, to feel at ease with it rather than be frightened by it. As a neuroscientist, I've wondered why some people seem to age better than others. Is it genetics, personality, socioeconomic status, or just plain dumb luck? What is going on in the brain that drives these changes? What can we do to stem the cognitive and physical slowdown that accompanies aging? Many people thrive well into their 80s and 90s, while others seem to retreat from life, prisoners of their own infirmities, socially isolated and unhappy. How much control do we have over our outcomes? And how much is predetermined? Marrying recent research in developmental neuroscience with the psychology of individual differences, successful aging sets out a new approach to how we think about our final decades. Drawing from diverse disciplines, this book demonstrates that aging is not simply a period of decay, but a unique developmental stage that, like infancy or adolescence, brings with it its own demands and its own advantages. The book will show that how well we age depends on two parallel streams. One, the confluence of a number of factors reaching back into our childhoods, and two, our responses to stimuli in our environments and shifts in our individual habits. This provocative argument can revolutionize the way we plan for old age as individuals, family members, and citizens in industrial societies where the average life expectancy continues to rise. It offers choices we can make that will keep us mentally agile, well into our 80s, 90s, and perhaps beyond. We need not stumble, stooped and passive, into that good night. We can live it up.